I'm Andrew.
I'm Scott, yo.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Weekly Geek Speak.
WGS, yo, boys!
He's back in the room! Yeah!
Back in the room. How long's it been?
I don't know. I don't measure time like you do.
It's been so long.
People measure it in times.
That the room has evolved around us.
In days, months, years, I measure it in, like, feels. So it's been 182 feels ago.
Welcome to Weekly Geek Speak. We're a Weekly Geek podcast. It gets better.
What does that mean?
Wait a minute.
You can find us on Twitter at Weekly Geek Speak. We're on Facebook.com/Weekly Geek Speak. And we're on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, and Podcast Land. And Steve's taking a sneaky Instagram photo. And I can't get
the longest Instagram photo ever.
And we're here to entertain you. We're back in our normal form.
Yay!
In our normal form.
Not our evolved form.
In our ultimate form.
This is my final form!
Is that a Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah, but... why did that make me lose all confidence?
Is it?
Yeah, you correctly guessed it.
Shit. No, it was was that a Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah, I think it was that hint of judgment you had made me crumble.
Yeah.
It took me back to school when someone discovered I watched it after school.
And they'd be like, oh,
God.
You like something that doesn't affect me.
You like Dragon Ball Z, I like Noddy, it's all fine, it's all normal.
What's wrong with Noddy?
I didn't say anything was wrong with Noddy. Right. You got beef with
Noddy. I have got beef. God.
Noddy got beef. That was a story. Noddy gets beef and he literally goes to the butcher's and buys beef.
I never watched Noddy. I never got into Noddy.
He's a bit creepy. More his friend Biggie is.
I went to the Asda yesterday and I swear to God it was like as if it was being slowly taken over by gnomes. And I'm not even exaggerating. Like every aisle there were a giant gnome staring at me. Is that a thing? Can you imagine now?
if we were getting taken over by gnomes?
I think we are. And also, off topic, I think my cleaner's stealing blue tack from me.
Oh my God. Call the police.
Uh-oh.
Now, first of all,
we're
not rich or anything. My mum just has a cleaner once every week or two to just help out because I can't. And because I live at home.
You're allergic to housework?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we all have our disabilities. Mine's housework and anything useful. And she don't take money because if I leave change outside, it's there. It's always there. And
Did you try to push it and put like when they put a tenner out?
No, I trust her. It's never been a test. It's never been a test, but I know she doesn't steal. But the last three visits, every time she's done, one of my posters starts falling off. And then I examine it, and all the blue tack's gone.
It does sound like the movies of a man.
I am very generous with my blue tack. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I practically cake posters in blue tack in the corners.
Okay.
There was definitely blue tack in that corner of that Deadpool poster. Where's it gone?
Do you think she's making you tiny sculptures of you, and she's going to give you them back in a few weeks' time?
Maybe she's making voodoo.
But my Back to the Future poster fell down as well. And then that similar issue. I put shitloads of blue tack behind that. Where's it?
I think there's another suspect here.
Yeah.
Well, there's two.
Go on.
One's gnomes, and the other one is your mum.
No.
Because I know how much she loves blue tack.
But nothing else has been blue tacked in the house. I'm the blue tacker.
That's what you think.
It's the cleaner. How do I catch it? I might get one of those nanny cams.
Oh. What if you find out it's gnomes?
What if you found out, yeah. What if you find out what she's actually doing with the blue tack and it's something really obscene?
But why ain't she returning it? I mean...
Because she's used it for obscene things.
She has a bit of moral compass to go, I can't put that back.
I'm not putting that back.
Or it's still in there.
She's still like, oh God, like, it's setting down there. It's like plugging.
I don't even know what
she's
doing.
Using it as some sort of DIY tampon. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm not suggesting anything. It's still in his bedroom somewhere.
Your mind, listeners, your mind can go where you want.
Are you saying it's red tack now?
Oh, God. I thought you meant it's still in the room, hidden.
Moving on. Scott.
Sorry, that was a no. bit, that was a bit tacky, wasn't it?
Oh. You're making us all blue. That was terrible.
Can we not stick to this topic and just...
I'm genuinely really wondering, though.
I think the only way to solve it is a nanny cam. You've got to.
It's a lot of money. To blue tack's not that expensive.
But for how long will you say that when the blue tack cost actually outweighs the...
It's more emotional.
When you're 89
distress.
And she's still stealing it and you've actually gone, I could have...
I'd like to think I've moved out by then, funnily enough. Or at least outlived my mother.
Can you not set up your webcam with your iPhone and do that remotely, subtly?
Oh, my battery would die, and also I need it. In that order.
It's got to be right.
I don't know. But I worry about these posters. Very limited edition from cinema posters. So I need to get frames. I think that's what I'm saying.
Maybe
frames.
That's her way of hinting. Yeah. Maybe. Just get some frames. Come on.
Maybe we all get to a point in our life when we decide that blue tacking posters is not...
I know, but I've been frying it for years. I don't want to be a frame guy. I don't want to put my ketchup in the fridge. I don't want to... No. I don't want five a day.
Society's box.
I don't want to have breakfast every day. Stop making me grow up.
So we discussed Deadpool last week.
We did.
We thought we'd better throw you a bone here and let you tell us your feelings on the deadness of pools.
Oh, I didn't hear your thoughts on Deadpool yet, so I'm curious. It's a film I expected, to be honest. I really enjoyed it. I think it's funny. Tonally spot on. Character spot on. It's funny. It's a riot. Recommend it. I think people went a bit overboard with its praise. But it is like a... It's done as well as expected and a bit, and as well as I suspected it may as well, because it's like just caught people, and it sort of transcended slightly in that, like, those sort of people go to the cinema for a quick laugh and a comedy.
Stop the train.
Yeah.
We have the same PJs.
Whoa there.
I've told you this before.
Didn't listen.
And also, how do you know they're not your PJs?
Oh, shit.
Oh, when he said you were going upstairs to use the bathroom.
Yeah, I just steal his PJs. I steal an item of clothing every time I come.
Oh.
Just because one day he's going to have to be naked. It's a long game I play.
Or, that's a nice little story.
Incidentally,
You just break into my house and come and watch me having a sing-song in my pants, as Steve did today.
When you arrive at someone's house expecting them to be in and the door is open and you push it and no one's replying and you hear a noise and think, oh, they're playing funny jokes upstairs, and then you appear in your doorway with your headphones singing and not realise I'm in the house. But I'm scared.
Can people tell we've not seen each other in a while?
It was scary.
We're so scattered.
I got pants. It was.
We've already gone all over the shop. Fucking desol.
Well, Steve's seen me in my pants.
I have, and I got pants.
To be honest, it's a step up from what you've seen before.
It is.
I think Deadpool's really fun. Like I said, like I suspected, its story's a bit...
That's what I felt. The story felt very Foxy.
Foxy,
as in 20th Century Fox.
Oh, right. Okay.
The supporting characters were all just a little bit one note for me.
They were there to serve his comedy.
Yeah, it was all riding on a 9 out of 10 performance from Ryan Reynolds, who just carried that film. I thought the love interest lady was very damsel in distress, 2D. Colossus, I thought his delivery lines were a bit cringy. The villain was very... X-Men villain, wasn't he? And so they were just mine. Yeah, but he addresses the issues, but with snarky comments. But is that forgivable? I don't know. But at the same time, low budget, I understand, and they've done an amazing thing. So it's still an 8 out of 10. My point is,
because people get carried away with stuff, there's different types of comic book films. They don't all have to be dense layered, thematic metaphor pieces, and they don't all have to be Iron Man. And Fox were kind of forced by the fans to do something a bit different and present a character like Deadpool on the screen as reverently as possible. And they made a really cool, funny, R-rated action comedy.
Mm.
That's all it is. it's not a game changer like people say. I don't believe that at all. I do think it's very good and watchable, but that's not the way we should do it now. Just the same. They always learn the wrong lessons. The lesson here was do what's right for the character. What's right for Deadpool, make a stupid action comedy.
Don't make all superhero films stupid action comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Deadpool wants R-rated. Don't make everything R-rated. People learn the wrong lessons all the time, and it's happening again. But
I think, like we said last week, though, it's opened doors, and it's also made people realise, like, I mean, we're getting another Spawn film that's come back.
Are we? Where have I been? When did that happen?
There's another
Spawn
film.
The news last week. Yeah. Listen to Weekly Geek Speak.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there's another Spawn film happening because of this. The resurgence.
Todd McFarlane confirmed it.
And he said, you know what?
Will it be better than the 90s Spawn film with Michael Gambon?
Which was good at the time. I mean, I remember enjoying it when I knew.
You know what? I used to, but it's shit.
Is it? I've not seen it for years.
No, I like terrible. Everyone knows if you chuck an 80s, 90s comic book film at me, I'm going to adore it. Yeah. Shadow Crow, Dick Tracy, goes on forever. Mm. So I love Spawn, but it's not good, though, is it?
Again, that was like the Spawn character was fine. It was everything going off around it, which was just cringy. Mm. News flash, new Flash. I've been watching Flash. Flash.
Yes!
seamless transition,
isn't it? We did actually watch Flash Gordon as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Spoilers? No, it wasn't. I'm enjoying it. It's very silly, very throwaway. I've just had the first proper Flash Arrow.
Okay.
Little meet-up, which I was a little bit let down by. Because they kind of went, here's a really cool Flash Arrow meet-up, they're training together, and then it went, now we're finished!
The problem is, because I've not watched it through on DVD yet, but this is a fear I had during that crossover episode, and the one for season two, is they're two-parters, and the second one's on Arrow.
And so it felt that way.
Yeah, so I was worried about that, actually.
It just doesn't play well. Otherwise, I'm enjoying it. It's very brains-off stupid. But I like the concise end. That's wrong. It's not stupid. It's cheesy and fun and clever. It does its thing, but it's not doing this whole stern face, this,
brooding,
that, and the other way you think. So it is your perfect anti-Daredevil spectrum.
I mean, we said it a few times, but even before this show, I always thought Flash was the most Marvel-y DC character because his powers are born from science fiction experiments and all that. And they kind of just grabbed that and made something. It's cheesy, but it's fun. They don't shy away from anything. Mm. They just have fun. It has terrific heart. And I do think the overarching themes and stuff are clever. It just don't preoccupy itself with trying to go, oh, come with us, it's all serious. And, stay with it. It goes, if you can't handle a talking gorilla, don't watch. And I love it for that. And it's really fun. But I'm pleased you're enjoying it.
I haven't watched any more, but I enjoyed the first one. It piqued my interest.
It's my it's my tea time treat. I sit and have my tea and I watch the Flash.
It gets good as well. At least Reggie goodness later. Okay. Or alt rest.
Yeah.
I'm not pleased.
I've been watching Jessica
Flash.
Jones as well.
Oh, it's really good.
Episode 11.
How good to kill, bro.
Amazing. Really good. It's a really strong series. I've said last week, don't know anything about her, but I'm enjoying every single episode. And it's not done in a way, like we just said with Flash, it's not done in a way like, look at her, look, she's got these powers, look, powers. It's like casual throwaway things where they go, yeah, but you could do that because you're strong. And they don't make a big deal out of it.
For long periods, some of her powers is in that show.
Well, I still don't know. I'm 11 episodes in and I'm still not 100% sure what they are and whether there's any more things.
She's strong and can leap. Kind of.
Right. But it's cool. No, I like the story.
Because in the comics you can fly, I think. But they kind of try to ground that.
But yeah.
Literally and but figuratively.
I know next to nothing about Jessica Jones, never remotely cared. And I enjoy that almost as much, if not as much, as Daredevil, who's one of my favourite Marvel characters. So it tells you something about the quality of these shows. I'm really looking forward to Luke Cage now as well. Really dug him.
Well, I think Agent Carter's up in the air. They're saying that they're not going to renew it for a third series, and then I read today they might. So that's
really great. Season one, I want first two of season two. I've not really been watching it.
Right, I think that was the problem. People started going, oh, a new character, and then they've gone.
It's just so much, man. Yeah. Like, DC alone, I've got five shows. It's too much. I'm sorry. I can't. I have to drop some things. Agent Carter gets watched when I can.
Which is fair enough.
It's, and I'm its audience. Oh, I'm so spoiled. I love it. I love it. 2016 is all about me. It's all about me.
Are you 50% more influential?
I am. And I will be for 1,000 years.
Leonardo DiCaprio got an Oscar.
He did. Yeah. We're not going to talk Oscars.
No, I didn't want to. I just wanted to go, so he got an Oscar.
He's
Hooray.
No better or worse an actor today as he was before.
Exactly.
I don't give a shit.
Some men told him that he was good. So
people can finally stop going, give him an Oscar. He's got one.
Because I've been accused of being a bit obtuse on this subject, but it's only because it's Oscar season and everyone's talking about it, and then I tell my opinion, which has not changed for years.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
No. Fair enough. I didn't even want to bring on because I just thought we
should... It's a flawed system where a very small demographic votes for supposedly the best film, which is wildly subjective, and they ignore
and they probably
half the genres of film. And I find the criteria faulty. I don't think you can conclusively decide the best film.
It's like there's a really suave club, and at this time of year, 6 pretentious arseholes queue up outside and then they pick their favourite one, isn't it? And that's not that's the films. The films are personified as the pretentious arseholes, not the actors, necessarily.
I don't need Mad Max to win Oscar, because I know last year was about Mad Max.
Oh, hell yeah.
Joey, I don't need Leonardo DiCaprio to win Oscar, because I know he's a fucking screen legend.
He's fucking awesome, yeah. Exactly.
But at the end of the day, the Hulk finding paedophiles in the church wins it.
Really can't be honest with. Is it just me who just thinks, ugh? Be one of those really annoying dramas where they drip feed little like revelations, and then at the end it cuts to some words that tell you what happened next.
Yeah,
when it gets interesting.
Zing.
I mean, I'll watch it. I'll probably like it. I'm just very anti-Oscars at the minute.
No,
so everyone's
I'm the
in
same.
My face.
I'm the same.
And I'm fed up of having the same argument with people every year.
I didn't talk about this last week, but I thought I'd tell... Well, I think I've told you both now anyway, but I went on a Wicker Man adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you
did tell me.
So I went to my parents, and they live in Dumfries and Galloway, near Newton Stewart, which is where a lot of the Wicker Man, the original proper Wicker Man with Edward Wood,
he
was
would.
Filmed.
He would. He bloody would.
How much wood would Edward Wood chuck if Edward Wood... Would chuck wood.
Oh,
God.
That was more difficult than I thought it would be. We found, if you've seen the film, there's a bit where the Maypole is. That's quite a famous little scene where they dance around the Maypole.
Of course, yeah.
Saw the little school, the building which is a school, and the little, where there's a woman breastfeeding in a church. And
breastfeeding a church?
Breastfeeding a church, a whole church, in a church, in
a
ruined church.
It was a Terry Gilliam animation in a deleted scene.
Probably would be.
What does that even mean from an artistic standpoint?
So we're in that little room, and then I was so excited to actually discover the remaining stumps of the Wicker Man, or the Wicker Man that was burnt. Still there. Amazing.
They are pretty
awesome. Not even signposted. You literally have to find it. It was like Neil Buchanan was guiding me around going find it.
Which I find shameful, because tourism's important everywhere.
Yeah.
Just a little plaque.
One of those big plaques.
But also, how many film locations, props even... Can you go see in their original place 40 years
I'd happily on. Take That's a amazing. Pilgrimage to watch for, to see some of the Wicker Man. Advertise it.
It's a little. Dream. It's not going to be there forever. It's going to. It's going to go, and it should be celebrated more than it is. The pub, the Green Man, the interior. That pub is still there, and it's unchanged. It's remarkable.
It's brilliant.
But that's Scotland. Back arse end Scotland for you. But yeah, that was pretty exciting. I'll put the pictures up on our Instagram or
something.
That would
be wicked,
But yeah, it was really exciting. I'm going to go when I next go up to my parents. I will be searching up more and things.
That's so cool.
Because there's a lot up there. Yeah, that was my Wicker Man adventure.
Wicker Man adventure.
Oh, nice. Oh, God. Do you know when you keep out of a room for so long? It's just everything, isn't it? It's just like splurging of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, Joe, when you've got a cup of tea and it's like wild and you're trying to like balance it in the cup because you're scared you're going to spill it.
What kind of tea do you drink? Living tea.
No, Joe, when when you think you're going to spill it, so you overcompensate, but then you're playing this, like, balancey game.
Yeah, I know. When you know the whole situation is completely created by yourself and you've put yourself in
the
predicament. Yeah,
and you know, you're like, you feel like trying to get you have to slow it.
And you also know if you just stopped your hand, everything would be fine.
Probably, but you don't trust that. No. You don't trust physics in this situation. You only trust your own hand. That was the opening. What are we doing now?
What time is it?
What time? It's time for the news. It's my turn. Oh, there was a jingle. Hey!
Is there a jingle, though?
I think so.
I don't think we've ever mentioned
it's not
that
a jingle.
In an awkward way at the start of every section of the news.
Has it been a jingle for a while?
It's always, have you been listening to
you edit, you edit the news. You edit the news. How do you not know?
I don't put the jingle in.
Oh, do you not?
Andrew does it.
Oh, okay.
All right. Time for the news.
I comb.
Ah, you comb.
He adds effects. Because he has them all, you see. So there's a Spawn film.
There is, yeah. That's happening. So in just under 2 months, Captain America Civil War will hit our screens. Joe and Anthony Russo are returning to direct after the awesome success of Captain America 2. In a recent interview, they've said the consequences of Civil War will have a more significant impact than Winter Soldier. We're going to change the Marvel Cinematic Universe's psychology, and it's an extreme shift. It's going to be a psychological thriller that will have a very dramatic ending that's going to be controversial to a lot of people.
What we wanted from Age of Ultron, really.
Yeah. Well, it is just Avengers 2.5, but what we needed. But it's going to be geared around Cap, and I don't know. Part of me is like, oh, everything everyone's saying means, oh, Captain America's dying. Kind of dies in the comic.
I was going to say, you are people going to die? Someone is.
But I reckon they might do that Marvel switcheroo thing.
Yeah, they will.
So, is Iron Man going to die?
Could this be the end of...
Oh, shit.
Robert Downey... Could this be the end of Robert Downey Jr.?
If I had to do it...
No,
honestly,
we'll have another character that'll run in and go, you were not expecting that, were you?
No, in fairness, no, I wouldn't do it in a Captain America film.
Are they going to have a Stan Lee cameo? And they're going to dramatically finish
it
off?
I don't know, but that
would be great. At the end,
stumbles across and gets punched by Iron Man, his head explodes, and they go, shit, maybe we should stop, and that's it. Spoilers.
Also, is it just me who got annoyed by the Stan Lee cameo in Deadpool?
I quite enjoyed it.
The reason he cameos in Marvel films is because he created them all. But Rob Liefeld created Deadpool. Stan Lee's got nothing to do with it.
I just enjoyed it. Okay. I think it was just a funny nod to all the superhero films.
Like,
no, we've done it as well.
Well, it were part superhero film satire. I know that's why. But I just got like, where's it end? Is it going to be an old fucking DC film as well? Like,
maybe he's in Batman Superman.
Do you know what? Just to fuck with people's minds, I'd do that. I'd just ring him and go, do you fancy this? Just to fuck with people.
Just in one scene.
Just like, they won't even know it's quite you. You'll get crushed by some debris as Superman fails to save people.
What a bastard.
Or maybe Batman accidentally kills him, and then they just go, no, we're cool, man, we're cool. We're even now.
Talking of Batman, we've been talking about it for over a year, and very soon Batman Superman Dawn of Justice will be upon us. Following the unexpected success of Deadpool at the box office, they've predicted the movie's opening will be big, but it's suggested that with pre-orders and things so far, it won't be as big as Deadpool, Star Wars or Jurassic World. Early
why
indications.
Even,
it's
why
a fun, it's
even
a new
tar it with that?
I know, this is the news. This
a
is
bit
the,
like, because like, this film is cursed to be maligned.
Yeah.
What other film ever goes, it's going to be good, but it's not going to be Titanic? Yeah. And this do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You don't do that.
This was a top story on most of the sites I look at. Like, it's news, and it's like, what?
But no one's set out for this to be the biggest film ever.
No.
It's got a very good chance, just because it's got the two most iconic heroes of all time on the same screen. But if it makes double its money, that's a success. That's how these things are measured.
Yeah.
If it passes a billion, it's a mega success. That's all it has to do. Like, I don't give a shit what it beats. As long as it's
a good film.
I want a good film that's financially successful enough to get more good films. So I hate all the reporting on Batman vs Superman. It's always got this bit of, well, I'll give you this, but I'm going to say this. Yeah. Can we just not enjoy a film? Yeah. And we're going to dissect it after. If it's shit, we'll all jump on.
Yeah. But DC and it's Zack Snyder, you're not going to get people just going, okay, you're going to have people doing this. It's a shame. It's a real shame. But you know what? It's the way it is. And as long as we enjoy it, it's Man of Steel.
I'm just asking them to wait 4 weeks. They can say what they want then.
Yeah.
Just wait 4 weeks.
Once you've seen it, have an opinion.
But I've booked tickets for the IMAX double bill, Man of Steel and Batman vs Superman.
Ooh, nice. Is that?
24th of March.
Is it sold out yet?
It may be. Okay. I don't know. It's definitely worth a check.
I'll have a look.
Need to see it very quickly.
Talking of soon to be released.
Oh, well, obviously, that'll probably be the second or third time I've seen it. I'll make sure I've seen it.
The soon to be released 10 Cloverfield Lane isn't actually a sequel to Cloverfield, it's been suggested. J.J. Abrams has said, with Cloverfield Lane, there's a larger conceit at work. It's only just the movie and it's... this is just the movie and it's only two films we're talking about right now. There's something else we'd like to do and hopefully we'll get a shot at it. So there's potentially a third movie happening.
Well, I didn't expect it to be a direct sequel to what happened. It definitely seemed, in the indications of everything that's going on, that it is another event happening, which was always intended in a way. There was the other points of view telling the story, but I think he's winded before about he wants... This is a huge world event and people are... This is different stories of different people and that's the way I think it'll be interesting. I'm hugely interested in this film.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
A good way to play it as well. Just peel back the layer in different films, different people, that sort of life, epoch-shattering, end-of-the-world shit. You know what I mean? Like,
definitely.
That's what made Cloverfield so good. It weren't just the 9/11 sort of parallels or the found footage style. It was just cool. Realistic casual attack shit going down, and this will be a more intimate, like, it's almost going to be like a stage play while it's happening, because I'm assuming they're never getting out of that bunker in the film until the end. I assume it's going to be all in the bunker.
Can't tell. I'm hoping they don't show any more. I'm hoping we don't get more trailers.
If not, I'm happy, but I'm expecting that, so when people are bitching about that in a year's time...
I said it.
I definitely think we'll be in the bunker for a while, but then again, if they're only in the bunker for the first kind of act, that's an incredible trailer at the same time, isn't it?
Exactly.
Definitely. Scott, this one's for you. We have an official synopsis for the Power Rangers reboot as the movie starts production.
Whoop, whoop.
It's kind of obvious, really. Five ordinary high school kids who must become something extraordinary when they learn their small town, Angel Grove, and the world is on the verge of being obliterated by an alien threat. Chosen by destiny, the heroes discover they're the only ones who can save the planet. But to do so, they have to overcome their real-life issues and bond together to become the Power Rangers. Featuring Elizabeth Banks as Rita Repulsa.
Which is okay, Cassidy. What I always liked about the pilot Power Rangers was... we need teenagers with attitude. And then when they come in, and they're all like lame 90s teens who like do help in the local youth centre. So they've got no attitude, but at the end one of them's like, "Nah!" And then they all laugh. So they need that style. I don't want modernised teenage. I don't want like, there's a cool street kid and so on. I want them to be fucking nerds who think they're cool. I want them to be 90s cool. Do you know what I mean? I want mullets.
I always like
dungarees.
Those two idiots that always...
Bulk and Skull. Bulk and Skull needs to be in it. That's big. Played by Melissa McCarthy. And Rob Schneider.
I like it.
Sold. On, 2 weeks' time in casting news. You heard it here first. In addition to the upcoming Ghostbusters movie, which we've talked about so to death, I think, in July there's also two other films that are currently on Kickstarter to do with Ghostbusters franchise. The first is Cleaning Up the Town, Remembering Ghostbusters, a feature-length documentary exploring the making of Ghostbusters 1 and 2 from the actors and filmmakers themselves. There's a trailer that's a really interesting one if you want to head over to Kickstarter and check it out. And the second one is called Ghost Heads, a film about Ghostbusters and their fans, and both have trailers and Kickstarter campaigns you can check out online.
That stinks of something that will show up on Netflix in 6 months' time and I will watch immediately.
I watched Turtle Power.
Exactly. Turtle Power, that Back in Time, Back to the Future one. There's a Serenity one. There's a Star Trek one, I think, on there as well.
There's a few Star Trek
ones. I've not watched Turtle Power yet.
Good. It's interesting just to see how one silly idea exploded and how the two other guys actually got together. And it was just like the beauty of fate, you know? Guy moves to a new city with his girlfriend, finds a comic on the bus, finds it's a local production, meets this guy, one day they watch TV and the rest is history. And the way actually learning about how in the 90s the toy industry worked, because I always thought it was the TV series then spawned the toys.
No, the toys.
That was a giant advert for the toys, basically.
He-Man, similar.
Yeah.
Just an elaborate toy.
It's a great document, very interesting. I think you have to be into your Ninja Turtles to like it, but it's very, very good, very nostalgic, and seeing the voice cast again, all coming back and having a chat, and things, it's good.
Nice.
And seeing how the movie was made, actually, the Jim Henson...
I love that. Those first couple of films, Warts and all, I love them. But I'd watch that. I'd watch the hell out of that. I love Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be so blasé and fucking blank about one coming out. Fucking love Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's literally one of my favourite films.
After forming in the 90s and working on a series of Saturday Night Live shorts and releasing a few albums, The Lonely Island have been working with Universal on a top secret movie project. Andy Samberg debuted the poster on Jimmy Kimmel and Universal have now released the synopsis. It's called Pop Star, Never Stop Stopping. And it follows the singer and rapper Connor For Real, played by Andy Samberg, who faces the crisis of popularity after his sophomore album flops, leaving fans, sycophants and rivals all wondering what to do now he's no longer the dopest star of all. Also, it's done by Lonely Island Judd Apatow, starring Sarah Silverman and lots of big music industry names.
I started watching Love today.
Oh, on the Netflix
with Judd Apatow. And I got really into it. Although I spent half the time wondering who the dude was.
So right.
He looks like he's pretending to be Adam Driver with a bird's beak.
Okay.
So I just stared. He's just an engrossing weird man. Like he talks and I have to like concentrate on him because like I'm like, he's so Woody Allen, but he isn't. And he's just got a weird nose, and I can't tell if he's just like a derivative piss take or like he's really good. He's fascinating. This dude fascinates me, and it's a good show as well.
Okay, I've heard mixed reviews.
Well, I only saw the first episode, but I liked it.
No,
I'm going to watch all of it.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm looking forward to Lonely Island film though.
Oh, well, should be funny. I like them. I don't know if I can be asked for a film. But I like
the problem is, as we've seen before, is when you have skits and ideas and then you make them into a film.
Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. I do not need a microphone.
One Night at the Roxbury is another great example. Oh, skits do not work. The Ali G movie is questionable.
Well, you could say
MacGruber.
You could say Blues Brothers and Wayne's World though.
In between this movie.
Alpha Papa, though.
Lol. Yeah, they can work, but there's a lot to say they won't. They need something good. And to be honest, elbowing cameos from pop stars sounds awful to me. I hate it when their little beanhead smile up on the camera. Like, look at me, I'm in the film.
I'm part of the joke.
I don't feel that way about actors, but when I see some person singing some generic noise.
It's because you can imagine the conversation with the agent, the reason they're doing it, the weird faux praise they'll get.
the deludedness of it all.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to make fun of you, but in your own, in a safe way, in your little bubble.
But the cameos weirdly worked in Zoolander. I liked them. I liked that.
I've never got Zoolander.
I feel like they work in Zoolander 2 when they seem like forced. I haven't seen it.
By all accounts, it's awful. I've heard nothing but awful, awful, awful. Should have left it.
I'm not a fan of the first one, but it's due a rewatch because I can't remember.
I just
remember not being as enamoured as everyone else was.
The first one. Stephen King's Western fantasy saga, The Dark Tower novel series, which started in 1982 as The Gunslinger, started production in 2007. It works. It's now entering production. Nicolas Arcel, who did Royal Affair and the original Swedish girl with a dragon tattoo is to write and direct. It's confirmed that Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey are on board, so Western with Idris Elba.
All right.
So that sounds pretty cool.
Dark Tower is something I've never actually read. I think there are a lot of people are huge fans, and I'm intrigued. But you know what? Both McConaughey and Idris are very... very good actors.
And it's nice to see a Stephen King thing getting some sort of limelight with mainstream actors, because a lot of his things like just go, well, they by the wayside. Look, they made a film.
McConaughey never goes by the wayside left, though, does he?
No.
He always goes, all right. Sorry. I don't know why I do that. Every time McConaughey comes up.
I still have Dazed and Confused in my head, where he's like, I keep getting older and they keep getting younger.
I always used to say, all right. But lately I kind of like going, MIRF! Don't know why. There's no context. That's
you're ruining Interstellar for me now. Because every time.
I've never seen it. You're just cementing the fact that when I do, I'm just going to. That's all I'm going to hear.
It's like this, science, MIRF! Science, MIRF!
It's a bit like Beaker from the MIRF. Science and MIRF.
The Weekly Geek's Geek's new noise review of the film.
I love Interstellar. I'm not doing it now. I loved it.
We spoke about horror movie franchises last week. And Saw 8 was merely a rumour, which is, you know, it's fine, people do that. But Chucky, it would seem, is going to live again. Creator Don Mancini has taken to Twitter and teased the seventh movie. He co-wrote the first one and penned the next five sequels. No details have been announced, but Jennifer Tilly and Fiona Dourif are back on board. First Child's Play since Curse of Chucky in 2013.
I seem to have watched so many of these films, and I don't know if I like any of them.
To me... they shouldn't be mentioned the same breath as the greats, but for some reason it sometimes slips in. I enjoy it as a concept.
Did we watch Curse?
Curse, the new one, and that was quite fun.
As a tongue-in-cheek, whatever, we enjoyed it anyway.
I more put it in the kettle with Gremlins and things, because it's so ridiculous.
It is silly.
And it's not scary, it's just silly. Mm. It's so silly. I like the fact they exist, I just don't like it when people go, Freddy, Jason, Leatherface... Chucky. He's not even close, baby.
Well, Seed of Chucky was redonkulous.
In fairness to him, it's got quite the franchise going there.
It has. Yeah. It's a really good franchise. It's silly. It's stupid. There's highs and lows, just like with Freddy and everyone. But for me, it's just a...
No, I don't do it for me.
It's just a bit weird.
Not in terms of horror. In terms of a schlocky watch with your mates.
Rumpelstiltskin?
Oh my gosh.
I fucking loved
that's due a rewatch. Now, I'm looking forward to it, though. I mean, maybe it's what we need for horror, just another silly thing just to, in this sea of Paranormal Activity 7 and all this kind of shit. Maybe it needs this again.
I don't even know what's even on the radar in terms of horror this year.
No, I haven't got... I don't...
Is that The Forest?
I mean, they've released The Witch, got a general release, didn't it? And Goodnight Mommy's got general release now, but I don't know what else.
I've heard The Forest isn't very good.
Yeah.
Would you believe that?
At least it's branching out.
Oh.
I can't believe you made that joke.
We're getting good at this.
We're getting to the root of all the tree jokes now. It's done.
Oh dear. And lastly, the new Nintendo console has more details. They've been very secretive about the Nintendo NX. It's going to have a HDMI dongle with Bluetooth that's going to connect to everything, so your phone, and you can do all sorts of things with that. I don't know. The controllers will have motors to give full haptic feedback, so when you hit objects, jerk from fire and do things, it's going to give full feedback to all that. It's going to be as powerful as a PS4, if not more so, and easier to work with. Someone who's used it on one of the dev kits has described it as Samsung and the 2DS having a baby. According to a source, there hasn't been this much forward momentum with a console since the Famicom.
I always think they tend to try and do this. They don't go for like the PlayStation's formula again, but better. Xbox is very similar. Nintendo, in fairness, it don't always work.
No.
But they do try and... the Wii U, maybe not so much. They just added a pad. But even that is a form of innovation. A sort of tablet that connects and you can throw it from your TV. They always try and rethink it, don't they?
Yeah.
Reinvent. So I'm expecting something cool and interesting.
And the fact that I think it's out this year.
And I mean, I know it's not, you know, in vogue. It's not like, because it's all kiddie friendly and multiplayer friendly games and stuff. I love Nintendo. I'll always be want to know what they're doing, yeah. And I'll always be interested in some of the games.
So. Can we also just mention, you dropped it off your news, Pokemon Moon and Sun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why did you?
Why did you? I put it on Twitter and forgot to write it down.
Yeah, well, it's the 20th anniversary, so
it's going to happen.
I thought they were going to do something, but I thought it was going to be Pokemon Z. I didn't realise it's been fucking 3 years since last film. Game.
That was 2 minutes since last film. We're on 92 now.
Oh, shit.
There's not much given away. They just know, and they've kind of announced the titles, haven't they? And there's Pokemon Go is obviously their next big thing, but this is coming after that, towards the end of the year. Excited. Will it be on DS, or are we going to get it on this new console?
I assume DS, just because it's always been on the portable systems, hasn't it? And I don't know. I'll always be interested in Pokemon games. Same game every time, but the graphics get better and better. Mm. There's always new angles.
New Pokemon.
And I fucking love that, the last one, X and Y, and all its shines and new riffs and stuff.
Mm.
So I'm there, man. Because I'm a saddo. Because I'm a sad man.
No, because back in the old days, the game adverts for that, like Pokemon, were just kids playing it. The adverts now do show the spectrum that it's not about kids. You've got grown-ups. Grown-ups playing.
I've not played X and Y in about 2 years. And someone from work started playing Pokemon, so they got all like, oh, can we battle? And then, okay. So like 2 days ago, I added her, and then we had a battle. And I don't think she realised what she would do. She didn't realise she was poking a bear. She didn't realise she challenged a Pokemon master. she'd come with like a this, that, or the other, and I was there like, perfectly trained Electrovire, boom.
Perfect move.
One hit kill. Strats for days. Flying type, ice move.
I don't know. 5 seconds later, brushing himself off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, was this bad? And then she just texts me going, what was that? Don't challenge it. It's like pissing off like Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven. It was like, do you know what I mean? It was like, come out of retirement. Do you know what I mean? Like, what, one last job.
The last Rocky film.
We left talking to an empty chair.
He would have been up there.
Oh, it's nearly time to rest the podcast ears on my chest.
Is it?
I bought a Wii U. I haven't spoken about that.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
We mentioned Nintendo consoles earlier.
Woo.
But I've got a Wii U and I've been borrowing games.
Yeah.
This Mario Maker.
Oh yeah.
Scott lent me. It's fun. I don't like building them, I'll be honest.
It takes patience.
I don't have much of that.
And fortitude.
I don't have any of that.
And ideas.
No. But I'm enjoying the 100 Mario challenge of doing people's levels.
I love it's the Mario game that just keeps giving because it's just unlimited, isn't it? Like, there's constantly new levels and ideas, and some people's levels are ingenious.
Mm.
Some are fucking shite.
And some of them are like, oh.
And some are just like mental troll sessions, and some are like, you don't even move. But some are just so insanely creative that you've got. I adore Mario Maker, I think it's great.
It is good fun.
It is a fantastic game.
Mario Kart 8 as well. It feels like it's got harder again, which I like, actually, I think. So the drifting around the corners and things has got a lot more.
8's the one we played on Bemusement Arcade on our website. On YouTube.
Mm.
We own YouTube. we keep it quiet. I've always been naturally really good at Mario Kart. Just like never have to touch it, and I'm good at it.
Mm.
And I was giving it the big end to Dan, like, oh yeah, can we play Mario Kart? Because everyone's saying I'm shit at these games, and I'm not. I know I'm good at games. It's just joy.
And then I was so wank on my way.
It's hard. It's really hard.
But it were corners. I couldn't handle any other corners.
No, it's too
hard. You need to really prepare for each corner, as in push your drift button well before, because it's got to jump.
But I didn't know any of the stages. I went in cold, absolutely cold.
Crazy.
So, yeah.
But
so
it's good because it provides a challenge to unlock those other things. It taking a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah. And Mario Kart's always fun. And it's not about winning. But it's just annoying because that was the one constant in my game life. Like, I was a fucking Mario Kart wizard. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Wizard of Mario.
And now I feel like I'm not anymore. I've had it robbed from me. I'm now officially old. I think this is the definition.
Oh no!
On a game franchise passes you by. Oh,
shit! How can it happen?
It's not good.
When a franchise starts outliving you.
Yeah.
We'll be doing Decommend next week, but I just wanted to throw a couple of films that I obviously won't be bringing into the table, just to talk about them. If anyone else has got any, now seems a good time to do it.
Yeah.
So ahead of Recommend Decommend next week. I just wanted to talk. We got sent a review copy of a film called Jerusalem. I'd urge anyone who's a horror fan to see it, because, especially if you're a fan of more modern horror. Now, it's not it's nothing new on one hand, but if you kind of take Cloverfield and Wreck, smash them together and sprinkle it with some of The Descent,
three films I like.
Solid.
It's an interesting film. Yeah. And also, it does something incredibly cool with the found footage genre. It's not Handycam, it's Google Glasses. Google Glass, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm. I always say this, you need a good... when the camera's part of the conceit, you need a good explanation.
Exactly. Mm. And when it comes to the point where you would put that camera down... This has a good thing. She loses her prescription glasses, so she needs to keep these on. So there you are. That's a great answer.
Yeah.
The film, for the first... The basic concept is a girl's going on her travels with her friend. They're going to Tel Aviv on the plane over. They meet a guy who's going to Jerusalem because he's all excited about this thing. The first 40 minutes of the film, we're travelling around Jerusalem. You're getting a point of view... view of this incredibly interesting city anyway. You know, it's the root of all religion in a way. Well, the majority of the big religions, you've got the Muslim beliefs there, haven't you? You've got your Jewish and your Christianity. But this plays in that they've all known that something is going to happen at this point, each of these religions. And you're basically seeing the end of the world break down. It's really interesting.
Nice. Okay.
And it's all point of view and things. And there are some tropes that are kind of, oh, it's a found footage movie, it does these things. Mm. Oh, it's... oh, zombie-winged creatures, you know. But at the same time, it does it really well and really fun, and it's a really great fun watch. So it's a 7 out of 10, and I would advise anyone to watch. And thank you for sending it us.
Sounds good.
It's cool. And the other one I was going to mention is The Green Inferno.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned just one.
Which is Eli Roth's film, which has been stuck in distribution hell for the past 2 years. And this is a revival of the tribal cannibal movie, which kind of disappeared in the mid-80s after the video nasties and things. And it hasn't really returned to, mainly because the subject is kind of a bit... culturally obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
But headhunters were a thing.
Yeah.
There's not many tribes that are, but this kind of experiments with some hippies go off to chain themselves to bulldozers to prove the point and show the world that this is bad and we should save the tribe. On after doing this, their plane crashes and they get taken in by a headhunting tribe.
Okay.
And what proceeds is your expected horror situation in that situation.
It sounds very Eli Roth.
It's got some great scenes. It's an enjoyable watch. It's very grim at times.
I was
going to
say, is it grim? Because all his other films are quite...
There are some horrible scenes. I mean, it didn't really affect me.
But...
Because it's very modern horror. But on the other hand, it did go places. But it lets it down with stupid scenes. It has necessary lifts. When you're in this thing and you're in this horrible situation, I don't want comedic scenes with wacky pothead relief. Characters and things. Okay. I don't want that. I want to be actually sat there going, I'm uncomfortable.
Mm.
That's what this kind of movie always was. If you think about Cannibal Holocaust and things.
That's just...
It pushed boundaries. It and did. I wanted to see a love letter to that. Whereas with one or two scenes in here are pretty gross and things, but I want a love letter to that, not some wacky moments that Eli Roth always seems to put into things.
Right, okay.
Let down by that. 6 out of 10 would have been a 7 out of 10. It's a good film. But I thought because that one's been...
It's been a couple of years ago you got that in your news. Ages.
And it's finally come out. But good enough, nothing special.
Okay.
So what time is it, Steve?
It's time for This Week The Geeks Have Spoken.
Ba-ba-da-ba!
Hey.
No. That's where we really missed you last week.
I really can't. That's it.
That's it.
Not my opinions.
Can we just...
Not my company.
No.
Not my jokes. A tune that you could easily replicate.
For God's sake. Yes. That's why we missed you.
Yeah.
Because you're so good at it.
I've got that weird, like, I can't decide if I'm getting ill.
Okay.
Do people get this, or is it just me?
What kind of ill?
I don't know, like, maybe I'm slowly getting ill, but I can't decide.
That's weird, I don't know.
I've had
an on-off sore throat which keeps coming back and going, hiya, and then going, and then coming back, and then it's like, are you going to manifest as something, or can you just fuck off, please?
I just feel slightly ropey, and I can't decide if I'm dying or if I've got an illness, so I'm waiting.
Okay.
But I feel like it's an illness coming on.
Illness or death? We'll find out. Tune in next week.
We'll put a poll up on Twitter.
You're all going to feel terrible now. Well, it turns into something.
Yeah, we'll miss that fanfare forever.
We will.
Oh, my God.
Can you just do it again one more time really clearly so we can just reuse it?
Yeah.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, you fucks.
Is that the
welcome
new...
to the shout out. Oh, mean. Scott's mean. Anyway.
Yeah. Thank you, as always, for all your retweets, tweets, interactions, and
free
word reviews.
Ooh, they are biscuits. And they're my biscuits.
I have the same biscuits.
It's because they're your biscuits.
No.
Biscuits, biscuits, biscuits.
Wait, are those glasses? We've all got glasses.
Yeah, you've ruined it.
Yeah, I know. You ruined that because I ruined work because we clearly all got glasses.
God.
God, see.
Something Brighter at Jen Tidders watched Bone Tomahawk. Gut-rippingly bad. 2 out of 10.
Ouchies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that film.
Yeah. You might enjoy it. We might have another witch on our hands, but we'll see. We might discuss it next week.
What does that mean?
We watched there was a film we all watched at
I thought it was like a
we
saying.
Have a witch on our hands.
I'm going to leave it at that. We have a witch on our hands.
Out of context.
That's it.
I'm lost.
We have a witch on our hands.
Okay.
So basically, if you have a huge disagreement with someone, so while one of your friends is giving a film 2 or 3 out of 10 and you're giving it 7, 8 out of 10, you have a witch on
you
your
do.
Hands.
You do.
That's
a
new
thing. That's it.
We've got a witch on our hands.
thanks to Paisy at Paisy Bones.
Is it a tiny witch?
Yeah, she just sits there going with her really pointy shoes.
Yeah, but this broom for her.
Don't get her wet like a gremlin.
Oh,
why?
Because
a wizard.
Yeah. Oh dear. Thanks to Paisy at Paisy Bones.
Peasy, boozy, bizy, peas. Some things never change.
Yeah! Thanks for his song. He said he started writing an Ellie Umber song, but bailed. He's going to do a proper theme for
I want to do a jingle. Don't
call my name.
Don't
call my name. Ellie
Umber.
Ellie
Umber.
Done. I like it, done.
Nice. Job done.
Came up with that ourselves.
There we go.
Try and prove otherwise.
Yeah. Robbie
Lady who?
Lady Nana.
Superfan Robbie Palenko at Robbie_Palenko.
Hey, superfan.
Speaking of Mad Max Fury Road, 3-word review, Devils Chase Saints, 8 out of 10.
Oh, that's neat. That's like a poster one.
Mm. I like that, yeah. Cool. There's a... I can't remember what it is because the website won't load. That's right.
Professional to the end.
I know, professional to the end. Here we go. It's not loaded. Now it's gone wrong.
What are you doing?
Marvel Universe. Rebecca at Arbitrary Genius said there's a Marvel Live.
He didn't even look
at
Link after all that.
I had looked at it.
He just glanced and went, oh yeah, it's a Marvel Live show.
Marvel Live is coming.
Why can't we talk about it? I want to talk about
Marvel,
Marvel
Live.
Live
is coming.
But he forgot. That's not hard to remember.
I had looked at it downstairs and then forgot.
You awful man.
It's been a long day.
We went to see Batman Live.
Yeah, Christ. Marvel Live is coming.
It was bad. But we still have to see Marvel Live.
I think we do. It depends how much it is, but I think we do. When is it?
Soon. Okay. I don't know.
We can't be a purportedly geeky show and not go to a geek live
show.
I'll come with you
this
Sheffield.
Time. Yeah.
Can't. I'm sorry.
We'll make a night out of it.
For journalistic reasons, we have to be there.
So thank you, Arbitrary Genius, for that. There's a scene I mentioned in It, and I said tweet in when they're making the movie, and Paze at Paisy Bones said, I do know at least one section that we cut from the film in the sewer with the kids, the magic bond thing. Angelica Pickles says, at Tacky Retro Girl, I've wondered about that for so long.
What are we talking about?
What is it?
It's
happened?
Really, really fucking weird. It is a really long book and a long story.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end, there's obviously the one girl, and they all go into the sewers. And they basically all pretty much have sex with her. It's really fucking odd. And it's really out of context for the book. But they feel like they need
one after
this.
One the other or
yeah,
at once.
They feel like they need this bonding moment. So they do this thing. And it's
are you sure you
really
watched it?
Fucking weird.
What? Are you sure? So how old are they?
I can't remember. I haven't read the book for years, but there's a weird. It's like a new
are you sure
weird
this is
bit.
Stephen King's It? You didn't watch like.
It's just fucking odd.
Simon Don's tip.
It's just weird.
It went back to a slut 17.
But yeah, it's no.
My
it's,
thing is, why
it's
would
just
you?
Weird.
Why would you go in the sewer? You get like shit on your knees.
Yeah.
They all if it wasn't, it'd leave a sewer taste in them.
Oh, yeah. They all have this bonding thing, and it's just very, very weird.
It grates on you. Yeah.
That was a shit joke.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah. So. Just weird.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So was it just like at the end they go, well, we've gone through all this, let's stick
let's
our
have
dicks
a bond.
In each
let's
other.
All have a bonding moment. And they, yeah, it's just fucking
that's
weird.
How I'd end every film.
It's just weird.
Name
just
a film that don't benefit. Dare you.
I think
Spotlight.
We
oh dear.
So I mean, we can have a bonding moment in a sewer.
Oh, that, we have a podcast every. I'm going to say every year, but yeah, probably at the minute.
Too true.
We talked about R-rated movies. Batman Superman. It's been announced as getting an R rating on DVD. And Pip Mason at Housebroken Geek says, "Sigh, still don't care."
That's enough to reply. Requires a level of caring.
He does care. I don't know which way he cares, but he does care.
I don't know. They do all sorts for DVDs to get extra purchases of collector's editions and ultimate. Just means I have to pay 20 more quid later in the year. No news here. Just church.
Yeah. Thanks again to Muthridge Caniff for his Bumpy Goose. Thomas Austin Morgan at Hey It's Me Tom says, awesome story on this week's podcast. Well done, sir.
Thank you, Muthridge. It was brilliant.
Yeah,
was
it? Really liked it.
Was it?
And you should listen to cause that's.
I should listen.
You should listen to what our fans throw in, our fans, our listeners. Our fellow geeks.
I really should. I've just not had time.
And Muthridge Caniff, M3JCMV says, thanks, man. And they also did a great job with presenting it. Thanks, guys. Welcome. Well, it's good to hear.
Yeah, bang up job, guys. I love it.
Someone called
more often.
Just
the two of
that's
you.
Right.
Work.
Just the two of us.
Brilliant dynamics.
We can
for
podcast
last week's
if we try.
Episode,
just
guys.
The two of us. You and Ben.
Last week might be my favourite.
Look, we've established. We've established now, it doesn't work because we don't have your jingle.
I've pre-read the shout-outs. There's one that I need to read out soon. Or will I? No, someone called Buttercup Camel Toe at Jazz_Pirate.
That's you!
Hey! I know.
That's not going to soothe me.
I know. God, Steve, gets it. It was Cassie Hack. Not I say I knew that, and I said Carrie Hack in Hack and Slash.
Oh,
it's Cassie.
I wasn't listening to you.
So I corrected. I listened to it and shouted.
No one listens to you.
I know. Oh, wait. Superfan Robbie Polanco at Robbie_Polanco. I'd like to hear what Scotty Magic thought of Deadpool on the next show, if he's available.
Oh, this is why he's my fucking favourite. Love him. It's the best. I already did that, didn't I?
Yeah.
You did?
Like, give it two thumbs up.
He also said, loved Muthridge's thoughts on Deadpool. Hopefully I can watch it on Sunday. And said that his voice in the Bumpy Goose story sounded more like Alfred. Really good. It was a great voice.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'll make a point of listening.
Yeah. The creepy picture of John Travolta.
Is that from fucking Michael?
It is. Well spotted, yeah. I was scrolling through Netflix and went, is that the actual box?
I watched that on pay-per-view when I was like 12.
I remember going to the cinema to watch it.
That and John Leguizamo's The Jerk.
Oh, I didn't see that. No.
Okay, so we talked a long time ago in a recommend. We've talked about another film called Michael, and I hope there has been a DVD mix-up at some point in the world where someone wants John Travolta as an angel DVD and actually gets one about a man locking his locking a kid in the basement.
It's one of my go-to take the piss films. You're like when you remember a song that's bad and everyone forgets, so you dig it out at random. Yeah, occasion.
What's the one where John Travolta gets a tumour? And has special
phenomenon.
Powers. Yeah, phenomenon. Seen that as well. Oh, God. Yeah.
To be in Battlefield Earth.
That was, yeah.
To be in talking now.
Oh, God.
It does apply to weirdly a lot of his films.
Yeah. It really does.
It's a tumor.
Saturday Night Fever.
Pip Mason, Housebroken Geek, says, unfortunately, I do remember it. He lures women to bed by smelling like their favourite thing. I don't remember that bit.
I don't remember that bit. That was funny.
What would you want a woman to smell like to lure you into bed? Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
No, because that's not arousing, is it? You don't want to eat her.
That's how I prop the pizza box up.
I don't know.
I don't know, just don't stink.
That's it. I can't follow that.
Do you want to come in for coffee? Yeah, but just don't stink.
Let me have a go at your pits. No.
Netflix and chill. As long as you have a fucking show.
Bitch. It's true though, isn't it? Like, do you stink? No. I'm game. Do you know what I mean?
You heard it here first.
I'm in a very happy, committed relationship. So you'd have to do a lot more than not stink. You'd have to go back in time. That's what I meant by that. Save.
So what you're saying is, if there's any ladies out there in a hot tub time machine with some bubble bath,
they're in. Yeah.
Cool.
Basically. I like a nice smelling bit of a perfumed woman, but I'm not going to say lavender or nothing at all. No, I don't give a
shit. I don't want to narrow it down to one smell.
I don't care. I don't need that extra. We're men. Just a woman asking you to beds, you know? Like, what's with this? Why do we always need to add to stuff? Like, why ain't there pizza enough? Why do we have to chuck bacon all over it? Everything has to be, like, magnified, doesn't it? Burgers on a pizza. I'm happy with your pizza. I don't need the world.
As long as the pizza doesn't stink.
I don't need the world all the time. I just want what services my needs. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's so greedy, is what I'm saying.
Oh,
you just want...
Yeah.
A nice smelling pizza. That's what I like.
I like a pizza.
Moving
on. No Iron Woman Man at JC_Pollard says, "Yah, look at him, isn't he lovely?" Swoons at John Travolta, but such hairy shoulders. Blah.
Rocking his wings.
Rocking.
Every time a bell rings, John Travolta gets hairy shoulders.
Dimples and Fuck Yous at L Ride says, in Pokemon Moon and Sun, why choose? And then there's someone's photoshopped the Pokemon Sun and Moon boxes for Dayman and Nightman.
We showed it so long ago, but I remembered it the other day. The trailer for Batman vs Superman over the top of Dayman.
It's always so eerily well. It's amazing, isn't it?
You just come in.
Yeah. Definitely. Dave at Wilbur Jr. 36 also said, yep, the one about the angel coming to Earth. Never watched it, but I know what it is. Martin Freeman's in Civil War. Captain.
He's been in Civil War for fucking ages.
I don't know why all of a sudden you've got all pissy about that.
I know.
Why are you talking about something that's been long established for a good year?
I keep
forgetting
about it and then remembering.
Okay.
Freya Gillard, the event prep at Rum Roller Run, says, I'm late on this, but I loved Michael as a teen. Think I saw it in the cinema and had it on video. Video!
I watched it at a young age. I can't remember much other than just watching John Travolta be an angel and wondering why I was watching.
No, that's about all I remember. It's very strange.
It's
because he had a tumour.
Yeah.
Tumour.
Something Brighter at Jen Tidders contributes to a book, the At Blank Page Book Club podcast. You should check it out. They talk about books and
blank
authors
page.
And whatnot. Yeah,
is that like readings without pictures?
That's the ones. Readings with words and that.
So where are the pictures?
What?
So how do you know who's saying what?
There's a picture on the cover.
Okay.
And then
inside there's words.
No, it happens.
The words.
It's just like a monologue from that picture.
Words happen, yeah. And you've got to deduce it all from that one picture on the front, I think.
But how do we know what's going on?
Yeah, where do you know where Batman is?
I don't know. Shit.
I think that should be like the answer. When someone's telling you to do something new at work, like, what you need to do is empty this, move this along, and turn that, and that's all you need to do. But where's Batman?
So yeah, check that out. Dave at Wilbur Jr. 36 said, "Wait! Did I read that correctly? The terrific trio back together again. Sorry, that's the only word I could think of."
Titillating trio.
Us. We're titillating. Ooh.
We don't really have like a jazzy
tantalising trio.
Mm. Well, we do. We're Weekly Geek Speak.
We are the world.
But we don't have like a name.
We're often referred to as the Weekly Geeks.
We are.
which made me tired.
Feeble nerves.
Those pathetic buffs. Those girly armed nerds over at Weebly Geek Speak.
Weebly Geek Weeg.
Dweebly Geek Speaks. Nuke the Fridge is Lewis Love. It is done the Nerd Report podcast on Indiegogo. They're trying to get a geeky podcast up and running. If
good for them.
Support them. Head over.
It's a good idea.
Lewis Love. Yeah. That'd be good. Be good, that.
We had something similar. A few years ago.
Let me do the outro over this.
Yeah.
Weekly, weekly, geeky,
right?
That's fine. Good now. I've missed it. Weekly, weekly, geeky, speak. You can find it. I'm not rapping. I can't rap. I can't. Can you rap? You do a set.
Not with this. Not with this weird coldy thing. I've got. This is
an outro.
We've been Weekly Geek Speak
on Twitter. We are on facebook.com/weeklygeekspeak. And you can join us on iTunes, Speaker, Stitcher, Podcast. Sam, thank you very much for listening. We would love reviews, 5 stars. And your interaction, please tweet in. We'll be reading more. But next week, recommend, decommend. Clash of the Titans, Bumpy Goose.
Oh, yeah.
Put it in your face.
Tweet in if you know what song this is.
Dehumidifying you. Come see yourself dehumidified.